I'd like to share a passage of Scripture and then pray over us this evening. And at the end of my prayer, there'll be some young men come forward to receive the offering. And we do ask that you give generously tonight. Last evening, Brandon gave us all a rock, a burden, a weight when we came in. And we carried that with us. And he showed us that, we tend to get forgiveness from God and then take it back. Somehow we want to drag the old stuff along. And we had those water stations, and we came up at the end of his message and put the rocks in the water and let them sink to the bottom. And in the book of Micah, it says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in his steadfast love." And what a beautiful word of knowledge about our Father. I think there's probably a lot of angry dads out there. And we try to control and manipulate by letting the anger grow. And it says here that our God is the kind of Father that does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in his steadfast love. And listen, it says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And tonight I want us just to be mindful that our sins are gone, and gone forever. And then as Christians, we don't live perfect lives. We still mess up. We still fall short. And 1 John tells us if we'll confess our sins, that God is faithful and he's just to forgive again. And so tonight we come having given it back to the Lord last night. If you weren't here, I want you to do that now, to say, "Lord, here's what I've been dragging around. Here's that failure in my life. Here's that anger in my life. Here's that thing that I've taken back." Tonight is about fresh wind. Last night, the fresh water. And the wind is about the Holy Spirit and how God, after we empty ourselves out, refills us. And so let me just pray. After I pray, the young men will take the offering and Micah will share about God's Holy Spirit tonight. So let's bow our heads. Almighty Father, you said, "Let us make man." We recognize that you are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit from the beginning. And when you created Adam, the Scripture says that you breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. Your made him a living soul. And Lord, when the Israelites were traveling in the wilderness, it was your Shekinah glory, the pillar of fire, the cloud, sitting on the mercy seat, that made us know that you are not simply a God of principle, but you are a person. You desire a relationship. And Father, that high priest could come and seek you, and you could communicate to him. And Lord Jesus said, "We can't tell where the wind comes from." And said, "The Spirit is like that." And at Pentecost, the Spirit appeared. And Lord enabled Peter as he preached that each person heard in their own language. Your word tells us that Shekinah glory now simply does not dwell over the mercy seat in the tabernacle, but we have become the sanctuary. We have become the dwelling place. We are the temple. And your Spirit not only dwells upon the earth, but within the life of every believer. And it is your Spirit that testifies to our spirit that we belong. And sometimes, Lord, as your children, we don't hear well. And we don't listen And it's because we become full of the wrong stuff and we're pushing you out. But your word tells us to stay in the position of being filled constantly by your Spirit. And Lord, that cleanses us. And tonight, we just ask that you will use the words given by a speaker who becomes your mouthpiece. And Lord, let us hear in our own language. Fill us to overflowing. And Lord, let it remain in that condition. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, welcome back to Renewing. It is really good to be back here at North Street. And I came in last night, and I've been so pumped since Pastor Bob has asked us to do this, Brandon and I. And Brandon shared last night, you know, some mixed emotions that he's had is that, you know, I'm just a 20-something-year-old youngin' who grew up at this church. And many of you ministered to me, and now Pastor Bob says, come do this conference. Am I on here? Yes. Not used to these things. All right, so we were so excited, been praying about it, and I walked in last night, and Pastor Bob was here, and I came in the sanctuary, and I said, wow, I have a lot of memories in this very room. So I'm gonna, before I get started, as the offering's being passed, I'm going to share a couple of those. And, you know, a couple of them I had to even apologize to Pastor Bob before we got started, because, you know, I said, I remember, Pastor Bob, when you were preaching some sermons, and you know, I would sit back in my seat, and I'd start to get distracted, and you know, I would catch myself counting the squares on the ceiling here. How many have done that? I don't remember how many do that, but I know. See? Yes. Okay, and then another thing that Brandon and I... Yeah, Pastor Ball probably counts them. Okay, Brandon and I, something that we remembered, and let's see if you get this one. Up here in this here air conditioner, there's a little light that goes across about every 9 seconds, which I found out last night that it's actually fans. A fan turning. Pastor Bob told me that. But so it looks like this light goes across there, and I used to count how many seconds it would go. And then, you know, I would finally eventually get it, and I think it was like 9 or 10 seconds. And then I would just continue to count it often and look at it a lot. You know, I looked at it. I don't think it's on tonight, but I was trying to catch that. But, you know, apart from that, those are just some of the brief, funny memories that I remember. But in this church, you know, I remember sitting in these pews and soaking up the Word of God. I remember worshiping with you. You know, I remember coming out of this door, and some of you were here, and I came up here to do a concert one night, and I welcomed everybody, about to get into my new song, my first song that I wrote, you know, and I set the mic up, and my guitar strap broke, and bang goes my guitar onto the ground. And if you remember, I picked it up and just stomped off the stage, kind of, and I said, Dad... And my dad ran to my rescue and shared some words of wisdom. Okay, so that's just another funny memory. But I remember hearing words of wisdom from Pastor Bob and Pastor Jeff. I remember contemplating on the cross as we took communion in this very room. I remember being broken and taught humility with the worship team here because I was a kid who thought I had it all together. I had all the talent to offer. And I realized that I have nothing to offer. And God has given me a gift, and He calls us to humbly use our gift. I remember sitting in a pew and seeing a girl every now and then. And, you know, I probably didn't pay attention to some of the sermons because I was looking at a girl that was in the pews. And I began to get to know that girl through this church and joined some ministries and got involved. I remember doing youth group right here. I remember 2.5 years ago, right about here, getting married to my wife Nicole, who's in the back with our little girl Reese, and we are so excited to be back here and to minister to you, and it is such a humbling thing, such a blessing. But you know, I was so excited last night when Brandon brought us a message called Fresh Water, you know, a fresh cleansing from the Lord. And you know, Brandon said this, he said that he brought us the story of the woman at the well. And if you remember, she was looking for living water. She was looking for something more. And God and Jesus Christ offered it to her. And Brandon used an example where we have weight on ourselves. We have sin in our lives. And then Jesus Christ one day took all that upon Himself, was nailed to a cross with our sins. And he said, "It is finished." And he slammed it to the ground. But Brandon said something interesting. Pastor Bob brought it up last night. But we as the church, you know, we are filled with the Spirit. We're brought into God's community, brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, as the Word says. And then often we pick up that sin and we drag it along with us. And then God convicts us and we put it back down at the cross and we pick it back up. Or maybe, you know, as Pastor Bob said too, you know, we're not perfect human beings and we have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God and continually be filled. But often we get out from under that filling and sin creeps into our life and it begins to take over. It begins to uproot our lives in Christ and it forms unforgiveness. It forms bitterness. It forms grudges. It forms arguments. It forms things that don't glorify God. So we're here tonight to talk about a fresh wind, a fresh filling from the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that this is a valuable thing. And as we get into it, I'm going to ask you just to open your hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart. And let's just see what His Word says about the filling and see what it produces. I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to jump to a couple separate places tonight. But in Philippians chapter 3, we see Paul writing to the Philippians. And in this passage, I want us to get the attitude that Paul has. You know, because Paul is an incredible person. He was somebody that not only believed in Jesus Christ, he was not somebody who only professed Jesus Christ, but he was somebody who delighted in Jesus Christ. Okay? And we need to get that for our own life. And it's only by the Spirit of God we're going to see tonight. So let me read in chapter 3. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are His circumcision. We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had," listen to this, "whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Whatever gain he had, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know, I'm going to stop right there. But I think that passage perfectly defines Paul's former statement in Philippians. It says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Paul had satisfaction in Jesus Christ. How did he have satisfaction? He rejoiced. How did he rejoice? By the Spirit of God. He worshiped by the Spirit of God. And I want to challenge us tonight. You know, a statement that I read recently by John Piper says this: "The best biblical command concerning conversion is not believe in the Lord, but delight in the Lord." Okay? The best biblical command concerning our conversion, concerning us turning to Christ, is not believe in the Lord, but delight in the Lord. And do we need to believe in the Lord to be saved? Absolutely. You know, Acts says, "Believe in the Lord God and you shall be saved." Pretty clear. But, you know, we have to take that in light of other things that Paul said and the other apostles said. They said, "Humble yourselves and you will be lifted up." They said, "Pick up your cross and follow Christ." They said, "Deny yourself." All those go into our conversion, our salvation. But delighting in the Lord is when we get to a point where we realize that everything we have in this life, everything that God has blessed us with, the things that I hold dearest in my life, I set over here because I know that Christ satisfies all my desires. Christ is everything. And that's where we want to get. And it's only by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, that we can get there. So tonight, we're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at how does the Holy Spirit fill us? And what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit of God? And then what does that produce? And what does that look like in our lives? And finally, how does it create one who delights in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray as we begin tonight. Father God, You are sovereign among the kingdoms of men, Lord, and You give them to whomever You please. Lord, You are righteous and You are good. Your mercies endure forever. And we are amazed that You, a high King, a sovereign God, would have mercy on us. That You would call us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. that you would call us a people for your own possession. So God, we as the church come to you hungry for more of you. God, be gracious to us. Open our hearts. God, you speak tonight. May I decrease so that you may increase, Lord. May you be lifted up. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this is a passage that you've all heard, I'm sure. A verse that I heard several times. I've heard the meaning behind what it means in the Greek and all that. And I'm going to hit on that again. I'm going to go there. And then we're going to look a little bit past that. And I'm going to give you some examples that the Lord's laid on my heart regarding this verse. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Ephesians 5:18 says this. Let's jump back to 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, you've all heard this definition probably. If you haven't, let me tell you. But it says, be filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean, you know, when we're saved, we are filled with the Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. This passage actually is like, it says, to continually be being filled with the Spirit. You know, we are to continually be being filled with the Spirit of God. How does that happen? How does that work for us? You know, you think of a drunk man here, okay? And what when somebody is drunk with alcohol, they can't control the way they speak. They can't control the way they talk, they think, they walk, they work, right? They can't control those things. In the same way that a drunk man is under control of his intoxication, we are called to be under control of the Spirit of God. Continually, always, every day, as we walk, as we work, worship, as we work. It's an incredible thing. But sin clouds that judgment in our lives. Sin clouds those things and we get out from under the filling of the Spirit. And yeah, we are comfortable in Christ Jesus. We're caught in Christ Jesus. No one can pluck us from His hand. But we're not having that fresh filling from the Spirit. An example that God laid on my heart recently was from 1 Samuel, you know, chapter 1. And Hannah is an incredible worshiper. She's someone that just seemed to get it. And this is an Old Testament example, so the Spirit is a little bit different, but it's the same God, the same triune God that we serve. But, you know, let me just kind of paraphrase what it says. You know, Hannah was a woman who she longed for a child, and she was barren. She could not have a child. And her husband had another wife. That's an Old Testament thing. And her husband had another wife, and this wife could have children, and that wife would ridicule Hannah because she could not have children. So naturally, any woman, any person would be just devastated at that point. Well, finally, Hannah reached her ropes, and she found herself at the temple of God, and she was on her face before the Lord, crying out to God, "Lord, give me a child." And it says that her mouth moved, but nothing came out. You know, people saw her mouth moving. And Eli, who was at a temple, comes up and he sees this going on. And he says, "Woman, how long will you go on being drunk? Woman, how long will you go on being drunk?" And Hannah says this, incredible. Hannah says, "I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I am a woman troubled in spirit." Small s, she was troubled in her spirit. And she was pouring her soul out to the Lord, it says. You know, Hannah was troubled in her spirit, pouring. She was so in tune to God that she was under control as she poured out to God, as she worshiped God. And her prayer wasn't a selfish prayer. You know, we often run to God when we need something, but her prayer was this: "Lord, give me a son. Give me a son and I will give him back to you." And did she do it? Yes. You know, and another thing that's huge to me, and because I have Reese in my life now, this is a good example, I think, but it says that Hannah raised Samuel, her son, until he was able to kind of walk on his own. So I picture a young age. I don't know what that age is. Okay, but she had made a promise to God that she would give him back to God. So Samuel was raised, you know, picture me raising Reese till she's 3 years old, and we get her to, we see those little characteristics develop, her personality develop. We see those things change. You know, I probably would love her. I'm going to love her far more than I do right now, 3 years from now. Okay? And I'm sure Hannah was the same way, but she did not hesitate. She took Samuel to the temple and left him there. And then it says this, and they worshiped God. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 2, she prays the most incredible prayer of adoration to God. Nothing about herself, all adoration to God. My heart exalts in the Lord. My heart exalts in your salvation. You are the rock. There is no God like you. And it's 10 verses, and it's an incredible prayer. You know, that is the heart that we need. That is a heart that delights in the Lord. That is a heart that realizes that her most prized possession, her son that she longed for, meant nothing in comparison to the Lord. And she gave him up, left him at the temple, and still worshiped God. Amen? We want that. We want that in our lives. So what does being filled produce? What does it mean, you know, when we say we need to be being filled with the Spirit? What does that produce in our lives? How does that look? Ezekiel 36 is an incredible passage. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't, I'll just read it to you. But listen to this. It says this. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when though you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Sound familiar? From all your uncleanness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, small s, our spirit, I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then listen to verse 27. I will put my spirit, capital S, I will put my Holy Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. God will put, this is prophecy. God will put his spirit in us and cause us to walk in his ways. And it says, be careful. It says what? Be careful to obey my rules. So he puts his spirit in us to cause us to walk in his ways and to be careful to obey his rules. So how do we glorify God with what we do? How do we glorify God as we walk, as we work, as we are under the influence being filled? It's by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's by his Spirit. You know, I read that passage, and after I thought about it, I kind of called it the journey of fresh water to fresh wind. If you notice, it says, you know, we are these dry bones, helpless people, worthless people, with a heart of stone. God says, I will put a new spirit within you. He puts a spirit in us, causes us to see, causes our eyes to see. And then the Holy Spirit sweeps in, gives us a fresh wind. You know, the wind of God that is his Holy Spirit, that we might walk according to his word. Incredible. Let's go back to Ephesians 5:18. You know, we hear that verse often, Ephesians 5:18. And now we're starting to get into what I'm passionate about the most. It says this, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, I want to touch on those verses. I think they're so important. You know, we say after we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, it says address one another, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. You know, that pretty much covers it. You see that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs a few places in Scripture. But, you know, the psalms, if you think about it, there's incredible adoration in the psalms. Incredible praise to our God. You know, there are some psalms where there's lamenting happening. But if you always notice, the lament leads to praise. The lament leads to adoration. When we pour our heart out to God about how pathetic our life is, about how worthless we think we have it, he always shows us that he is God, he is faithful, he is steadfast, and it turns to adoration. It says hymns. You know, when I think of hymns, I think of the doctrine of God. There are so many hymns that explain, you know, that have such powerful lyrics that say who God is. A mighty fortress is our God, the solid rock in which I stand. You know, that covers who God is. the truth of God. And then it says this thing, spiritual songs. And a lot of times we jump to the conclusion that that's the new age, what the kids sing, spiritual songs. And true, some of these new praise courses are that. But in the New Testament church, it wasn't irregular to be in a setting like this and for somebody to just stand up and just pour out their heart. Maybe they stand up and say, I rejoice, God, for you saved my soul. God, I rejoice for you gave me a son and I could not have one. Lord, I rejoice because you did this in my life. They pour out their soul, fresh expressions of the heart, a new song. And we're called to do the same. We're called to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's speaking. That's not just always singing. But then it says this, singing and making melody in your hearts. When I think about that, I definitely see joy. You know, I don't see me coming up here and I feel like if I was singing, your grace is enough for me. It's not like, if it's from my heart, hopefully there's joy there. Hopefully that if I realize God's grace saved me from hell, which I so richly deserve, and I was on the path to, yet He pulled me up and transferred me to the path to life. Hopefully I have an overflow of joy, but it's only by His Spirit. So the Holy Spirit produces joy. And then it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, we have reverence for a God because He is faithful. He is triune. He has created. He has the Holy Spirit that He might pierce our hearts, convict our hearts, and use us, and fill us, and create that joy that we might delight in Him. An example that I heard recently is this, okay? So here's God. He's right here in the center, and He's pouring out His Spirit. And you know, we are the church of Christ. We are under Him, and you know, He gives us His Spirit, okay? So we're right here. He fills us up with His Spirit. And you know, we're pumped, right? We get passionate. You know, sometimes you're just in a place where God's filling you up. You're centered on Him. He's pouring into you. You read His Word, and things are jumping off the page left and right, and your life doesn't change, right? Your work doesn't change, your work schedule, your ministries don't change at church. So you pour your life and you're like, man, this is awesome. I need to pour this into somebody else. So here we are, getting filled. And then we begin to pour into others. Okay? Legitimate, right? We're pouring ourselves into others. So God's filling us up, right? So if you picture the water here, here's God. He's pouring into us and we're pouring into this person. And we're pouring into this person, and we're pouring into this person, right? So as God fills us, we pour into someone else. But you have to look here. When our cup is tilted and we're pouring out, there's the space. There's still a space there. And that's the space where we try to do it on our own. When we get so filled and passionate that we say, man, I can do this. Let's do this. And we get ahead of where God is, and we begin to try to do it on our own. And that's where sin creeps in. And you know, we might catch it at first. We might catch it at first, but eventually that sin gets in there, creeps in there, causes us to not see things from God's Word when we do our devotion time, when we read His Word. And that sin begins to grow, and eventually our cup turns this way, and God's pouring out His Spirit, and we're missing it. Until we realize what Colossians 1, chapter 16, and through the end says, it says this about Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By Him all things were made. Through Him and for Him all things were made. For Jesus Christ. And then it says this, He is the head of the body. He holds everything together. Until we realize that apart from Christ, we are nothing, we're going to drain ourselves of His Spirit. And we can't do it on our own. It's until we center our lives on the head of Christ and we realize that no matter how much we pour out, it means nothing because it's of us and we're going to burn out. But until we set here, God fills us up. He makes us passionate. And then when we stay there, the overflow begins to fill others. And they see our example and they align themselves with Christ. And the overflow fills them up. And the overflow fills them up. And then we are a church that's seeking the Lord wholeheartedly in spirit and in truth. That's where we want to be. Acts 13:52. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it says. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So the filling of the Holy Spirit produces joy. Joy in the Lord produces delighting in the Lord, I say. You know, and go back, and back in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord, and I don't have a problem telling you again." How many times do we see Paul saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice"? Why did he preach that over and over again? Because he understood that to live is Christ, to die is gain. God's most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him, when we set everything aside and say that the most prized possessions we have mean nothing because Jesus Christ reigns. He is supreme. You know, if we're on our deathbed and we see our death as gain, as gaining something better than anything we've ever had, that's being satisfied in Christ. That's delighting in the Lord. That's having joy. That's having passion. And it all comes from His Holy Spirit. So I say this, delighting in the Lord produces those who worship the Lord. Delighting in the Lord produces worshipers. And God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, as we saw last night from the woman at the well. That's what He says. So how does the filling of the Holy Spirit produce worshipers? Let me give you, you know, I told the men at lunch, I have a way of turning every message to worship. I have a way of doing that because God has, one, programmed me that way, given me a passion for that. But I see that God is seeking those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are called to go and make disciples. And God is seeking us. And one day, there will be no more discipling, there will be no more evangelism, but there will be worship at His holy feet. Amen? And that's where we long to be. But it's only by His Spirit that we can get close to that on earth. We'll never understand His greatness because it's unsearchable. We'll never understand it as long as we're on this earth. And something will always cloud our vision of who God is, and we'll have to go through this process again. But if we remain centered on Christ, we see our need for Christ, and then we delight in Him. So let me give you a little rundown of what I think, how the Holy Spirit produces worshipers. So God initiates worship by revealing Himself to us, okay? God is the initiator of worship. We often think, you know, here comes the worship leader to lead us in worship. Well, you know, I try to make it a practice to pray to the Lord and say, God, I pray that I wouldn't have to do anything today. Because if it's of me, then I know it's not spirit and truth. But it's the Holy Spirit that can ultimately lead people into worship. God initiates worship. God causes our hearts to see who He truly is, that we might worship Him. You can break that word worship down into worth-ship, okay? It's giving worth to something. And you've heard things like, you and I were made to worship, a song, okay? And I agree, we were made to worship. But often we don't worship the right thing. Often we miss the point. We were made to worship the one true God, and sin entered our life. And you know, we elevate money, we elevate time. I heard it said that if you could follow a path of somebody's hobbies, somebody's money, somebody's time, you would eventually come to a throne. Whatever's on that throne is what we worship, is what we give worth to. But Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to be on that throne. And everything else stays behind. So God initiates worship. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." I love that verse. The firmament, the earth, shows His handiwork. You know, an artist's handiwork is a painting. Awesome. But God's handiwork is the mountains, the sky, the trees. He made every tree bend the way it does perfectly. He made every rock the way it is perfectly. Incredible. Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." It says, if we don't praise, if we don't worship, even the rocks will cry out. You can't get much more worthless than a rock. But God made it to worship Him, to glorify Him. God initiates worship. God glorifies Himself. You know, He created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, and He said, "It was good." He was glorified in what He made. He sets the perfect example for where we need to be in our walk with Christ. So God continually initiates worship. He never stops. But worship is a response to God's initiation. So there's two parts to this. Worship's a response to the initiation that God puts in front of us. Psalm 34:8, a verse that I love. Many of you have heard, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What's the constant in that verse? The Lord is good. God is good. He's unchanging. You know, something I was thinking about. If I came home from work one day and I walked in the door and my wife said, "Micah, I made cookies." This actually kind of happened. She's like, "Micah, I made cookies." And I said, "Awesome." And I jumped on the couch and I laid there and threw my feet up. Most of you know me and I would run at a chance to have cookies. Okay, but I didn't at this point. And I walk in the door and I jump on the couch and I sit there. You know, my wife made cookies and they were good. I guarantee that. Okay, but I'm on the couch and then I say, "All right, let's go to bed." So we go to bed. I missed the opportunity to taste and see that Nicole's cookies were good. Okay? I missed that opportunity. The same way goes with God. God always is initiating something. He's always putting something in front of our face that's good. But if we don't take the time to stop and notice, to taste and see, we miss the opportunity to worship God. We miss the opportunity to worship God. Say in the sunset. Say in the sunrise. I walk out the door to go to work. God paints a beautiful picture across the sky. You know, I used to think it was uncool or not manly to stop and notice the sunset. And then I realized that the heavens declare His majesty. That God put that there as an initiation that I might worship Him, that I might respond to it. It's all around us. Do you drive down the road and just notice the trees with no leaves on it? And how intricate every little branch is? Does that lead you to worship God? Think about it. So I say this, the Holy Spirit opens one's heart to recognize God's initiation. Philippians 3:3 that we read, Paul says, we worship God. We worship by the Spirit of God. We worship by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit. John 4, chapter 23, or verse 23 and 24, where Brandon preached last night, the woman at the well. It says this, "For we are spirit," small s, "we are spirit. And the time is coming where God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit," big S, "and in truth." I heard it said recently and I love it. Worship is when our spirit and God's spirit connect. Worship is when our spirit and God's spirit connect. Remember, God put in us a new spirit, a heart of flesh. Well, His Spirit fills us up and causes us to see, opens our eyes to His glory, to the heavens that declare His majesty. It's by His Spirit that we see His initiation all around us. And we're driven to our knees to worship Him. Our hands are driven to the sky to worship Him. Our hearts are bowed because He is good. Therefore, the Spirit is needed as we become worshipers who worship every day. From the rising of the sun to its going down. Psalm 113, 2 through 3. Memorize it. Blessed is the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the time you wake up, His mercies are new every morning. That's an initiation to worship Him. The first breath that you take when you wake up is an initiation to worship Him. But how many times do we just wake up, take our breath, brush our teeth, throw on our clothes, roll out the door, get to work? You know, we miss, you know, it's not necessarily a wrong thing, but we miss those opportunities. And it's by His Holy Spirit that we begin to notice those things. I wrote this at the bottom of my page. Worship is one thing we will do for all eternity. Praise God. Giving worth to God is one thing we will do for all eternity if we are in Christ Jesus. The most important call concerning those in Christ is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The only way we can be the kind of worshiper God seeks is to be being filled with the Spirit of God, is to have our cup centered on Christ Jesus, understanding that we can't do, it doesn't matter if we do anything on our own, because apart from Christ, it means nothing. When we center our lives on Christ, He fills us up and we overflow with passion, with love. And then we pour into others and we can ignite them to glorify God. We can ignite them to worship God. So I ask you, where is your cup today? today? Are you trying? Are you burnt out because you've tried to do it on your own and you've poured everything out? Or are you passionate and now you're running for an opportunity? You're trying to find an opportunity. You know, I found myself in many situations. Let me tell you, in conclusion, just a short thing. But recently, you know, things get busy in ministry and life's going on. And, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves about myself, about me in my human flesh, is that I get in the Word of God and things are jumping off the page and I get passionate and I'm pumped and I read His Word and there's nothing better. And then eventually, I keep getting in His Word and I'm like, there's nothing in that chapter. Nothing's coming. I don't see anything there, God. But I read it and then I go on with my day. You know, and it's until now that I realize that it's by the Holy Spirit that He opens my eyes to God's Word, the truth of my worship. So one day I was sitting at Starbucks at about 7 a.m. and I read the Word of God and nothing. I got nothing. And I just sat there and I was annoyed. And I often write in a journal, write my thoughts down, write the things God's teaching me from His Word down. And I pulled that out and I'm just sitting there. And the statement came to my head and I wrote this down. It said, "May I never be comfortable with my walk in Christ until I reach His glorious feet where I will wholly and truly worship Him in the splendor of His majesty." That statement poured out of me and I said, "May I never be comfortable in my walk with Christ until I reach His glorious feet where I will wholly and truly worship Him in the splendor of His majesty." You know, and can we as Christians have comfort? Yeah, Paul talks about it in Corinthians that if we are in Christ Jesus and we're adopted, we can be comfortable in that. But I'm talking about a different kind of comfortable. I'm talking about a comfort that's in light of God's holiness. Did you know that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says this? "The Lord your God is holy, therefore you be holy. It is written, be holy, for God is holy." Well, if we all serve the same God, we know that God is holy, 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 perfectly holy. And we're called to be exactly like that. We're called to be holy as He is holy. And something about that brings an uncomfort to my life. But I found that when I get filled up and I get passionate and I say, "I'm going to go be holy," I start pouring out my holiness. I start pouring out my passion to people. I start doing it on my own. It's when I fall. It's when I can't get anything out of His truth. It's when I don't see His initiation to worship Him and to glorify Him. So I pray that as we continue in our walk with Christ, that we would center ourselves on the triune God, the perfect one, the holy one, the perfectly holy, loving God who saved our souls. And one day we will be at His feet and we will worship Him and we will declare with the saints and the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power." Incredible. Finally, we'll realize that it's not about us. Finally, in the light of His holiness, in the light of His glory, everything will be obliterated and we'll never pick it back up again. We'll never be tempted to pick it back up again because we will have tasted and seen personally that the Lord is good at His feet. And when we fall down on our faces because of His glory, He still picks us up and allows us to celebrate. Zephaniah even says He sings over us because He's overjoyed that we're finally in His kingdom, in His presence. So I challenge you, let the Holy Spirit fill you up. Let the Holy Spirit continue to fill you because it's a beautiful picture. We were sinners. We are sinners. Had a heart of stone. But God, for some reason, saw something in us. 1 Peter 2:9. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people for His own possession, called out of darkness into His marvelous light to proclaim the excellencies of His name. That's what we're called to do. Proclaim His greatness. Delight in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit in this place, Lord. God, I thank You that everything in life that I would ever try to do on my own is worthless. And Lord, would You continue and continually drive us to our knees whenever we try to do it on our own. And God, would You continually be merciful to us. Help us to see by Your Word and by Your initiation all around us that we are worthless and that we need to center our lives under Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of life, to whom to know right is life eternal. Lord God, fill us up. Allow us to not feel like we have to pour into others, but allow us to let You overflow us and allow the overflow to pour into others. Help us to allow the overflow of Your Spirit to help us to press on. And God, may we be uncomfortable in light of Your holiness until we reach Your feet, where we will finally understand Your unsearchable greatness, Your majesty, Your goodness. We love You, God. We worship You. We delight in You and You